We're on a crazy train tonight. And thank you for
it. Eddie, why are you encroaching on Mr. Ozzy Osbourne's music? This is the Ozzy Osbourne. We must appreciate this music. This is almost as good as Karen Carpenter.
We're going to see if we actually get blocked for this one on YouTube. I don't know. Who the hell knows? Maybe that's the case. But thanks for joining us tonight on Granny's Peach Tea. We're at episode 62.
Oh, 62. Oh, my God. We're almost at 69.
Alex is really waiting for that episode.
He really is.
Patiently waiting for that one. But thanks for joining us. If it's on the Facebook live stream, if you're joining us on the YouTube live stream or Twitter live stream or Instagram, we appreciate it. Or if you found us on your audio-only version, whether it's on Apple iTunes or Spotify, wherever you found us, thanks for joining us. And with me, as always, every week on this crazy train of a show that we got going here, is Jason. What's up, Jason?
Hey, good to see you. This better be a good episode, because there is a great documentary about macaque monkeys on right now. And you know how I like macaque monkeys. I love macaque, guys. I love my monkeys. I call my monkey Rupert. Rupert's my monkey.
Oh, man. That's definitely something we're going to talk about at the end of this one. Monkey videos.
I'm going to do this all night. I am Nick Cage tonight.
Well, so, Mr. Cage, what do we have coming up on this episode of Granny's Peach Tea?
Oh, we got wild stuff, Eddie. We got wild stuff. So first, we're going to ride through like Squirrel Girl. Whoa, we're going to ride through like Squirrel Girl into the Flash. And these squirrels, I'm also besieged by my action figures because I'm redoing things in my apartment. But these squirrels are going to fly on to us, fly on and say, cover Moon Knight, guys. And we're going to cover Moon Knight, Eddie. And after Moon Knight, oh my Lord, we are going to get into one of the craziest things I have ever seen. And it will remain that way till next week when I see the sequel, which is the Ghost Rider movie. Oh, but before we get started, I got to talk about Unhassle and the Hoff, which is a crazy episode. Oh my God, this is a crazy episode. There's the Hoff, and he's in a haunted house. That's it. That's really it. The Hoff.
Yeah, that's it. That's the episode.
That's it. They're in a haunted house, and him and Angie Harmon get separated somehow by time, and the whole reason the house is haunted is it used to be an old West brothel where a jealous husband killed a bunch of people, and the ghost of the jealous husband is stalking them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's special.
That is special. See, I had to drop the Nick Cage because I wanted to make sure everyone knew that I wasn't putting on a Nick Cage thing for that. That's exactly what happens in this episode.
Oh, wow. All right. I mean, that is some way to get this whole thing started because there's just so much psychedelic insanity that we're going to talk about tonight.
Bonkers shit tonight.
But before we get to like a lot of that part of it, you know, because there is a lot of psychedelic insanity, we're going to take a look back at the last episode of The Flash, you know, that is season 8, episode 11, which was last Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, because I know they're on break now, because these CW shows, they take these random hiatuses. But, yeah. Jason, what do we got for The Flash?
So I thought it was a solid episode. I really thought it was clever. So it opens in 2012 with Ronnie and Katie's meet cute about how they met and started dating, which I thought that was cool. I don't think we've seen that before. And pretty much there are two plots here, as there usually is. The A plot is Katie realizing that the Black Fire is actual, or I call it Grief Fire. That's my name for it. I'm the new Cisco. I don't care if that's a real name. So Katie realized, you know, coming to terms with the fact that Ronnie is Grief Fire. She goes to the Flash team and she's like, that's my husband. I know it. He's come back to help me to get me to help him because we have this connection and I need to help him. And Barry very wisely is like, it feeds off of grief. It's not really your husband. She's like, Barry, shut the fuck up, Barry. That's my husband and I'm going to save him. And then Cecile is like, I think it wants to die. And she's like, fuck you, Cecile. It's my husband. We're saving his life. And so they kind of let her do what she's going to do. And they do. They bring Ronnie out from Grief Fire. And there's, at the end, he just turns to her. He literally stone cold. Like, you okay? He's like, I'm fine. Thanks. This helped. By the way, your friends were right. Your husband's dead. Grief Fire 2012, and he fucking goes away.
I thought it was an interesting thing in this episode, because there was a lot of, I felt like there was a lot of the characters throwing stuff at Barry, like, well, you know, if this was Iris, you would be acting differently.
Yes.
Right? I wasn't just me thinking that. It was like everyone was saying this to him, and he's kind of like getting shit constantly for that.
Yeah. And to which case he should say, because they're right. If it was Iris, he'd be like, you know, he'd be reversing time, which he knows he's not supposed to.
Yeah.
But what Barry really needs to say is, I'm sorry, guys. Those of us who are the Flash, that's me. That's me. See, if I fuck something up with Iris, I have to fix it. If you fuck something up with Grief Fire, I have to fix it.
Yeah, pretty much. Or it's just like, dude, whose name is on the show?
Right. We're not Team Katie here.
Yeah, I don't remember it. Right? Imagine that. He just goes all like douchebag Barry and starts doing that shit.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
But actually hilarious.
But I do shortchange the end, which I shouldn't, because that was cool at the end. I just checked my notes. So Griefstorm actually becomes Deathstorm, and he like transforms. And he's kind of like a negative version of Firestorm, right? Like a darker version, like a black version of Firestorm.
Yeah, pretty much the evil version of Firestorm that's there. He has the whole, the name of the device that's on his chest that helps create Firestorm and everything. He has that ongoing.
The hand wave-o-matic.
Yeah, I don't know. I knew the name of it. It's escaping me. But, like, that's pretty much what it is. So it was cool. And quick thing, though, that Robbie Amell did play a version of this villain when they were looking at Earth 2, if you remember, like, it was like season 2 or season 3 when they explored Earth 2. I think it was season 2. And they brought him back briefly, and he played like this slightly different version of it, but this is not it. This is the Earth Prime version of Deathstorm, who looks different, who looks cooler, and my understanding is going to be around for a little bit.
I'm assuming this is going to be the big bad for the season.
I hope so, because we don't have one, and we're not on any other track of getting one, so I'm hoping this is it.
I do, too, and it would make sense, because, you know, we were talking last week, about how we feel the writers have run out of ideas how to make Kate important, you know?
Yeah.
But I liked her in this episode. Like, she had stuff to do, So I hope that, you know, I hope that they keep him around and that really drives some of the character. Because the characters, I think you can agree, I think the characters have gotten stale. You know what I mean?
A lot of them have. I mean, they obviously give Barry stuff to do.
Yeah.
But his stuff's repetitive. But again, we just talked about he's the main character of the show. But you're right. A lot of the side characters have next to nothing to do. I mean, especially Allegra.
I was going to say, like our favorite Allegra, whose only job...
I have only go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Her only job this week is to rightfully bust Chester's balls. That's it. That's her only job. And I say rightfully because Chester's like, hey guys, I'm making something that can reverse time, bring back the dead, and destroy the planet in three buttons. Here's how to do it step by step.
Which is idiotic.
And the fact that when she calls him on it, he's like, no, this is what science is about. It's like, dude, you are fucking... Are you a moron? Are you a child? This is what science is about. Yes, if you are working, like, on vaccines, or if you're working on medication, or if you're working on technology, non-proprietary technology you don't want to make money off of, that will, I don't know, make the internet go faster. It's not for, like, resurrecting the dead.
Yeah, like, if I knew how to build a bomb... I am not going to go on YouTube and do a video of showing people how to build a bomb.
No.
That would be just incompetent.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm going to blame Barry for this. Not because it's Barry's fault, but he needs to vet these people, okay? He needed to know that his new tech guy was going to share every single, like, technological shit he took in the Flash's place of business with the world and have a sit-down with him. Because that's irresponsible.
Yeah, it's completely irresponsible. So I guess Allegra has some function besides sitting in team meetings and saying, what should we do? We are doing this. No, Allegra, you're not doing shit. Everyone else is doing shit. You ain't doing shit. So stop saying we, because you ain't doing shit.
And but she did this week. Yeah, she did something. She did something.
Something.
But, you know that the writers have no idea what to do with her, because at this point she's been on the show for a season and a half, right? Maybe even two seasons.
Longer. I don't know. It might be longer.
And they continuously call back to her dead sister. It's like, guys, I didn't care about her sister when she was alive. I don't care about Allegra. I don't care about her dead sister. Give me something that isn't rooted in the past. Give this character something to do so I can like her or dislike her. Because right now I don't dislike her. She's just there.
Exactly. And that's what she is. She's just there to take up space.
Yeah.
And it's annoying. But whatever. We gripe about her every week. But we have Deathstorm, so that's cool. I liked seeing Robbie Amell back and doing a lot of stuff. So that was cool, because he was featured in a majority of this episode. And when, like I said, we were given a lot of background to Katie, his relationship with Katie, which we really didn't get a lot before. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed watching that stuff for sure. Like the character driven stuff is the stuff I really like in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then the B plot is Iris keeps making things disappear, and Tinian wants to kill her. Like I mean, to be honest, I don't have any notes on it, and I don't really remember much of it. So that's all I remember. It's not very memorable to me. Like Iris in trouble. Like I don't know. Is she angling to leave too? I mean,
I don't know, because I mean, if those reports are to be believed, everyone's leaving after a short season 9. So maybe that's the case. Everyone's out of here. But I don't know. It wasn't like it was a solid episode.
Yeah,
it was an interesting episode. Even though we're seems like it's points where shit talking, but no, it was a solid episode. It was entertaining. Yeah. It was just there was some fluff in there that we didn't need.
That's it. It would look. I said I liked it. It's a solid episode. I just think like I'm giving it shit because this is a solid episode for later Flash. This would be if this happened in season 3 or 4, this would be a garbage episode.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I'm giving it shit, because it's not perfect. But considering, like, you know, where we are in The Flash, it's a good episode.
Yeah, compared to the stuff we've been dealing with.
Yeah.
So, I'll say it's a little bit, it is a bit of an uptick recently. So, at least we're heading in that direction. Hopefully, we get there.
I have a funny Flash story before we go on. So, mm-hmm. I teach high school, as I've said in the show before, and my first period, kid in my first period class, who he'll get there a bit early, and I'll overhear him talking to his friend who sits on the other side of the room. So he's closer to my desk as I'm getting the lesson ready. And every now and then because he's rewatching The Flash, right? So every now and then I'll just hear him talking to his friend, like, yeah. And then what was the thing I heard? Oh yeah, this is because he's catching up with this season. I just heard out of nowhere. Yeah, and so then she's marrying this old guy in an alternate timeline, and her real husband shows up, and they hate him, and I just go, are you talking about the Flash over there? And he goes, yeah, about him. So every now and then I just hear ridiculous like snippets without the context, and I just go, oh, that's where he is in the Flash now. That's interesting.
Especially because you just recently like rewatched them all, so
100%, yeah. So like I know, so I do remember a great deal of it. So just a fun story, like, because it's so bizarre, because it's like 8 a.m. I'm tired, I'm like getting my lesson plan up, and I just hear like, you know, yeah. So then this thing, how ridiculous is this? So I'm like, Flash, I get it.
We've been there, my friend. We've been there. All right, so we'll go ahead and I think, you know, Flash is back this week, actually. So
okay.
They took their little brief hiatus off, so we'll be back. Well, actually, we won't, because our next episode is Wednesday when it's airing. So 2 episodes from now for us, it'll be back. All right, well, let's jump into the MCU show of the week, Moon Knight Episode 4. It's not the day of, but I'm going to throw up the spoiler warning. So if you have not seen Episode 4, just in case, of Moon Knight, spoilers be a warning. We're going to talk all spoilers about this. We're spoiling the hell out of it. So check out and then come back when you have seen Episode 4 of Moon Knight.
That's right. When you get this reference, the end of this episode is kind of like Fantasia. If you didn't get that reference, then shut off right now. Go watch the episode. If you got that reference, buckle in, because we're talking Moon Knight.
Yeah, exactly. I guess we haven't completely, because this is not Rick, actually. Rick.
Wow, I thought that was going to be Rick.
I thought it was going to be Rick, too, but it's not. Apparently, we do have an unexpected guest on the episode. You know him for Pop Culture Pros, if you watch A to Z, or Just Too Sweet, or even he's joined us a bunch of the times, or Empire 161 back in the day, or Shoot the Sith, whatever it is, he is everywhere on Pop Culture Pros, or Tim Zavala.
What's up, guys?
Tim, you're a real cool cat, Timmy Timbo.
That's right. I didn't change my name from the episode we did of A to Z. I was like, I'm leaving it, so whatever.
They can't see it anyway. It's already been blocked anyway, so all good.
And to be honest, it helped me, because that's what drove my Nick Cage impression to introduce you.
I like it. I don't like Nick Cage, but I like it.
So I guess you got inspired to join us for some Moon Knight talk?
Yes, because I have questions. I think maybe you guys will answer them for me. I have a feeling I've like our main character. I have a feeling I've slept through half of this show. I think I'm missing. either I'm missing some stuff, or it hasn't been answered yet, and I just don't know.
Or maybe you have DID, and your alter has been watching half of it, and you're watching the other. And in the final episode, you guys are going to compare notes, and bam, it's all going to make sense.
Which is why I'm a cool cat, because maybe that was my alter ego watching the show. I have no idea what's going on. So I want to pop in for, you know, a question or two, and then and maybe you guys can answer for me, and I'll make sure I'm not going crazy.
All right. Well hopefully, because this episode does raise a lot of questions, especially at the midpoint of it.
Are we officially at the exact midpoint? We have half.
Oh, we're past. There's only six episodes.
So we only got two episodes left.
We only got two left.
Okay.
So we're there. All right. So we pretty much. I'm getting feedback.
Yeah, I'm turning it down.
Okay.
There we go.
We appreciate you watching the show, though, Tim. That was awesome.
I had to turn it down.
All right. So the episode opens where we find out. One of the other gods has a bunch of these smaller imprisoned gods, like Khonshu, in those little, like, statue-type things.
Which really makes me wonder, how many Egyptian gods have been imprisoned? How many were there, and how many are left? Were there a pantheon of thousands just now whittled down to the five that we saw?
That's my guess. I think we're going to find out something weird's going on, where they're just, like, imprisoning a bunch of these gods that are maybe not in line with what they want to do.
I think that's the turn.
My guess.
The turn is the gods are the real villains. That's my call. Like, no, it's not a Mephisto thing, but I think we get to the end, we're gonna learn that. Like, yeah, Amit's bad. Yeah, what's his face? Ethan Hawke is bad, but the bigger bad is going to be something. The things going on with these gods. That's what I think is going to happen.
Ethan Hawke is great in this.
He's fantastic.
He is really good.
He's fantastic.
I like him a lot. He's always excellent.
Wait, let me ask my question real quick. This way, I may say, maybe you guys will fill this and it'll help me with the show. Now, we know Mark Spector exists at some point in time because he's has a wife and he was on a part of a team and mm-hmm. he looks like Oscar Isaacs. But Stephen Grant also exists. He has his whole other life, talks to his mother, has a fish. All right. So we know they're two separate people at some time. Mm-hmm. What the hell's going on then? How are they two separate? How are they one person in one body when both families and friends recognize them as that same person?
We did discuss this.
Okay, because I missed that. Yeah. And I missed that part of the show, so I'm so confused.
All right, so this is what Eddie and I had said. So Mark Spector is the prime, right? He is the actual person. He's not an alter. So that's where his life is. But if you remember why he started ghosting his wife, it's because he's trying to shut her out to keep Khonshu away from her. Mm-hmm. So what better way to do that? Okay, fine. So then I have DID. I have these alters. I'm going to set up a life for one. I'm going to hide in that altar while they live their life. I'm just going to be an alter to that guy. He's not going to know I'm here. I'm going to do my Khonshu shit. And Khonshu never, ever, ever finds out where Layla is. So we think that he said, like, that Mark Spector set up the Stephen Grant persona as if he was his own guy. And, you know, it's like, yeah, he's talking on the phone to his mother, but we don't know who it is. We've never heard her.
Okay.
We don't know if he has a family or not.
So
like,
it's almost a Total Recall type situation.
Yeah.
Sort of, but there's also a third alter.
Yes, I know the third one. Yeah. But yeah, I remember that part too. But technically, So it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, this guy, yeah, he became Doug McQuaid, and Doug McQuaid has no, does not remember. Right. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Douglas Quaid, yeah, and same. What the hell was the other name in Total Recall? Shit.
All I remember is Cohagen. Yeah.
Cohagen, you got to do you want to give these people air.
Hauser. Hauser. You are not Jew.
Yes.
You are not Jew. You are me.
Yes.
That's all right. Little, so that makes a little bit of sense then.
That movie's a classic.
That's where I've been lost. While I'm going, they're real people. Yeah. Like I said, the fact that he talked to his mother, supposedly had an entire whole life, it's like, I don't get it. But that Total Recall thing kind of makes sense then. They implanted, he has a memory, he may be talking to them, nothing.
Well, the idea though, the same is that, and in the comics at least, and there's different like iterations of Moon Knight in the comics, is this, his alters were created once he linked with Khonshu. This was like a side effect of him mentally linking with Khonshu. So that's when Stephen Grant persona was formed, and also Jake as well, who we haven't met on the show. We don't meet him in this episode still, even though he might have been seen in this episode, which we'll get to that part. Yeah, sort of seen briefly. I think that's who it is.
You think he's the hippopotamus from Fantasia?
No, so you remember at the end when he
just wanted
the thing?
To say the hippopotamus yeah. from Fantasia, but yeah, go ahead.
No, there's that one room that they go into. And the casket, Egyptian tomb, is shaking, but we don't see who's in it.
Yes.
So he does find Steven in another one, so I think that's the third one.
I agree.
Haven't met yet.
We're going to meet him. We're going to meet him at the top of next episode, I'm sure.
Has to be. Has to be. But whatever. Let's roll back to towards the beginning of the episode, where we see Layla fighting people off because Harrow's people are busting in and trying to get on them. And then her and Steven, they pretty much go to Amit's tomb to try to beat them to it. And that's there. And they end up finding supplies and things like that. But the interesting thing here, and a lot throughout this episode, is how Steven Grant and Layla are kind of falling for each other, because she's kind of like, well, he's the honest guy. He's not the asshole like Mark is. And she even makes a comment at one point like, oh, well, the best thing Mark had to bring was the suit. And he doesn't even have that anymore.
Yeah,
I was like, man, that's a fucking low blow.
And to be honest, like, I could see it happening, because that is her husband. Like,
yes,
you know, Stephen Grant doesn't see it that way, but that is her husband. So her falling for that personality, it's like, it's kind of just falling for a different side of your husband. So I think that's kind of cool, you know.
She loves the looks, obviously. So she got the looks, but a brand new personality.
A much better personality. I love the fact, because we're there, right, where they kiss, right? We're about there. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that they're about to kiss, and he goes, wait, the reason Mark pushed you away was because, and he tells her the truth. And she's like, why would bring that up? And he's like, you deserve to know. And it's like, wow, what a fucking great guy move right there. Like, no, I want to kiss you, but not under false pretenses here. You got to know the truth. I love that. I really like that.
Yeah, and even right after that, we have that situation where we find out that Mark can apparently take over the body and will it, I guess, to when you have an emotional extreme. He goes and punches himself and is like, oh, shit, what the hell was that? But later on, though, in the episode, Mark does, when he sees a reflection, does kind of give him props. Like, dude, you actually told the truth.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming, so
that was nice.
Maybe I'm going to chill out a little bit with this, and you know, and see what happens here. But then they go ahead and they're in the Amit's tomb. There's a lot of it, kind of reminded very much of like an Indiana Jones type episode and stuff like that, or like the Mummy or something along that, which is fine. Whatever.
It's very much the Mummy. This movie is like an old school Mummy horror movie. You know, they're going into the tombs, and you see that creature in the tomb who's like cutting the meat, right?
Did you guys think that like between the noises, because I was like, I thought of Signs, like the aliens and Signs, like right away. Yeah. Am I the only one?
Tim, it looked a little like that.
That. And the sound and everything kind of reminds
me. I try not to think of Signs.
I like Signs. You don't like Signs?
I like Signs.
It's fine. I have a hard time watching. That's Mel Gibson, right? I have a hard time watching Mel Gibson after the problems.
Yeah.
And I just, I mean, you know, now the M. Night Shyamalan podcast. I just think he has It was okay. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It was okay. I think he had better movies, okay. And he had worse movies. So there you go.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, that's what those guys kind of reminded me of, between the sound and the look of them and stuff. But then they find the Eye of Horus, which Steven goes ahead and explains to Layla. There's a lot of, you know, there's the part of all the different senses, and then there's the tongue that's there, that's part of it, and tells them about, well, Amit's avatar is the tongue, like, speaks for him and speaks through him, and that's a big thing. And it's kind of like Layla's just like eating us up. She's like, oh my god, this dude's like the perfect guy here. Like, this is it. He's honest. He knows his shit about history. He can be an archaeologist too. Mark who?
No, his name is Mark Spector because he could fucking ghost out. You know what I mean?
Yes. So that's where he is. But Harrow's people are getting killed throughout this because they find machine gun shells and things like that, bullet shells. And yeah, then we hear them shooting and stuff, and they're wondering what they're shooting at. And then we find out like there's these like alien type guys who are running through there. They're chopping people up. There's blood there because even Steven sees a trail and is like, listen, is this fresh blood? And it seems to be going that way. We should not be going that way if the fresh blood is there. And then Layla fights one and puts a friggin' flare right in the eye.
And that, I thought that was good looking. Like, because these things, for the most part, are shrouded in darkness, and you don't really get a good look. Most of this episode is really dark, and it's purposeful, right? They're in the tombs of Egypt. But when she gets that light in its face, and you actually see what it looks like in the light, it's terrifying. And I thought, like, the fact that it was, like, it was in darkness, you only get that one brief look, almost like a jump scare look, I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, me too. I think there's a lot of jump scares throughout, especially that scene where Layla gets like pulled into the dark out of nowhere.
Yes.
That was awesome. Twice it happened. Right? That was awesome.
Yeah.
She seems to be the breakout star of the show, I think.
Yeah, she's great. I mean, Oscar Isaac's already like,
yeah.
Yeah, he's already established.
Yeah. Oscar Isaac was a star coming to this. I think she will be a star. Like, they're gonna find something for her to do in the MCU because she's so like charismatic, like she has such presence on screen, it would be foolish not to use this woman again.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. But then Steven goes ahead and he finds pretty much Amit's tomb, and then finds that it's Alexander the Great is the one that's in there. And then he figures out that Alexander the Great was an avatar for Amit prior to Harrow, Arthur Harrow being, you know, now the, you know, avatar for him. So I thought that was an interesting spin.
Very interesting, and that's a long time between avatars. Like, I guess they'll get into this, but did Amit not have an avatar this whole time? And if not, how long has Amit been imprisoned? And if she was imprisoned before Arthur Harrow became her, like, the avatar, how the hell did they meet? Like, it just opens up so many questions.
Yeah, and how long was Arthur Harrow Khonshu's avatar? Because he was apparently, like, a moon knight beforehand.
Right. So, like, I really hope, as much as I like that they're building up all these questions, I'm really hoping these next two episodes start unraveling and answering some of these questions. Because, like, I love a good questions, but, like, my fear for this is that it goes the way of X-Files or Lost. Right? Okay. Like, it's a great build-up, and there's some great stuff, and it's got you hooked, but they don't actually answer anything, and you feel disappointed at the end. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's my fear.
Or they set up a season two.
Which, that would piss me off. If you give me nothing and you just set up a season two, that will piss me off.
Yeah.
Something. Give us something.
Yeah.
Anything. I think we will. I mean, listen, they obviously different writers, but they did a great job with Moon Knight. I mean, with Hawkeye in the same type of way. If you remember, on episode four, we got a badass episode four, but then we had so many questions, but they did kind of tie things up pretty nicely in the last two while setting up, you know, future whatever movie or, you know, show that it decides to kick off on. So, but Harrow shows up, of course, because he's there and he was, you know, searching for Amit's tomb. And he encounters Layla and tells her that, listen, Mark is in more pain than anyone can handle, trying to, like, sympathize with her. And that Mark was there, which he had hinted at, Mark was there for her father's death. Doesn't say if Mark was the one who murdered him, but just mentions he's there. So still kind of like messing with her by not telling her everything. But we do get some of that. Then Layla goes ahead and confronts Steven and is like demanding to speak to Mark immediately. And I also, that's another time where we see like a huge emotional impact where he suddenly goes right to Mark and Mark takes over the body. So that was something new that we learned that can happen. So in an extreme circumstance, they don't have to like hand over control of the body. But Mark confirms that he was there. He's not trying to hide again, but he says that he was there with his partner who got greedy and executed everybody. And one of the people happened to be her father.
Yeah. And that's, it's safe to assume that's the day that he met Khonshu, right? Because he says, I was supposed to be among the people dead and I wasn't. He kind of glosses over it.
Yep.
So like, it's Khonshu. That's the reason.
And he met Layla too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, he meets Layla after that. And she actually, yeah, is a great moment because she went, wait a minute, we only met because you felt bad that my father was killed. That's why we met, which, mm-hmm, I think, what a gut check. Like, what a punch to the stomach for that woman, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So she's going through a lot of shit in this episode with that. But then Harrow shows up again and it interrupts that and has this whole little, like, brief showdown with, like, his people and Mark. And he shoots Mark, 2 bullets right to the chest, doesn't screw around. Boom, boom, done. He falls into this vat of water. He's kind of going through some stuff. And then things really take the episode takes a complete turn. So wild. This is where I like, there's a lot of Easter eggs, which I want to throw out there for you guys. And you guys tell me what you think is going on here, because this is anyone's guess right now. Okay. So we see this like non-HD, looks like a UPN9 type of situation going on here, where it turns out to be like a movie with a, apparently it's a movie we find out is a VHS called Tomb Buster, mm-hmm, and the archaeologist guy, his name is Stephen Grant. And then Mark wakes up pretty sedated, can barely speak, and he's in a mental institution. That's where he was, you know, you can clearly see that's going on.
That old gag.
Yeah, right? Like,
that old gag.
What is going on now? But the stuff that's there walks by this person with a tray of cupcakes, which is a callback to the first episode with the cupcake truck that's there. We got some random person drawing Khonshu on, you know, like a rendering there. The goldfish is in the background at another point. Layla's playing bingo and all these other people are playing bingo there.
And cheating. Like, so I love that scene because Mark is in the wheelchair and he's sedated and she sees that he won the bingo and she goes, Oh, and again, wonderful acting on with this actress. She's like, oh, you won? And she takes it and goes, we won. Okay, we won. That's great. I won. I'll share with you later this time, I promise. Like, mm-hmm, it was just such a cool, like, moment. And the fact that she was acting so different than Layla was just, it was nice to see her do that. It was cool.
Yeah, her and Oscar Isaac are, like, just, honestly, like, they're both crushing it. Like, and like you mentioned, Ethan Hawke, too. But Mark tries to get out of the wheelchair, and his right leg is tied to the wheelchair like Stephen had his leg tied to the bed previously. So I thought that was interesting. And then he's looking for the reflection. There's no altar there. So he's totally freaking out. And then there's like this Moon Knight-like action figure on the floor.
Yep, that was cool.
Which he was getting to as well. And then he finds out his doctor is Arthur Harrow, and he has the cane. And he has a painting that looks like where he was in the first episode again, which people were throwing out there, the possible Victor Von Doom stuff, which Jason and I were just kind of like, we're not doing this again. No, it's not. Stop. It's Mojo. Wow. Has Mojo ever made an appearance on the show?
He must have. When I was in Mojo Prime Mojo Fever at the beginning of the show, he must have.
So... All right, whatever, Tim, I'll throw it to you. What the hell do you think is going on here with all these little Easter eggs in this whole thing? Like, I think they're setting up him. He's obviously questioning, like, has any of this been happening? Or is this all totally, like, crazy? And I'm in a mental institution. Like, none of this is real.
Maybe it's the water. Maybe it's the mystical bullshit. I don't know. But this is the old gag, the old, you know, I might be imagining this gag. I might be doing this gag. Mm-hmm. Might be Khonshu. I don't know. It's not Harrow doing it, obviously. I just think it's really Mark now dealing with his alter egos and all this stuff going on that's really making him question everything. He's basically having like a bit of a nervous breakdown, I think. I don't think it's anything mystical, anything crazy, anything too, I don't know what you want to call it, too mystical. I said mystical like five times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think it's his subconscious really wrestling with the fact that this is some crazy shit going on. And now I have three personalities in here dealing with all this bullshit. Now I'm shot and I'm floating in water. I got a giant bird guy controlling my life. You know, it's a weird, weird, weird situation going on. But yeah, this it threw me for a loop a little bit, especially you'll get to it. I know the very last scene. So I was like, wow, this is absolutely, this is like madness stuff. I was like, multiverse of madness kind of stuff going on. I was like, what the hell is this?
This is multiple personality of madness.
Yeah.
Jason, what are your thoughts on this?
We're in the underground. This is the Crazy Jane's underground.
Okay.
You know, he's got DID. He's been shot. He's, I think, dying, right? That's the impetus of this. You shoot a guy twice in the chest and drop him in a body of water. Unless you are in a Marvel or DC property and you are not Batman's parents or Uncle Ben, you're fine. You're fine, you know? But you know, everyone else, you're dead. So I think he's dying. He wakes up. I think that mental institution is his underground, as Tim said, his subconscious. That's why we get all the Easter eggs, right? Because it's his mind trying to make sense. Okay, so what's here? Okay, so the chain. Yeah, I remember the chain, the cupcakes. Yeah, I did something. And I think that's what that is. It's this sort of breadcrumb trail for the character to follow. And that's why he meets himself. That's why Mark meets Stephen Grant. And they actually... Like, and I forget, like, that it's Oscar Isaac playing both of these guys. Like, he's amazing at differentiating those characters. And that's why we were talking about the third altar coming. And I think what's going to happen is the third altar is going to come out and it's going to be like, guys, we're dying. We have to figure this the fuck out. What do we do? And of course, the third altar is going to do something to save them. That's my thought. But yeah, I think I don't think there's anything supernatural. This is the dying subconscious of Mark Spector trying to reason out how to survive.
Doesn't Isaac have a twin? Doesn't he play a part in this one? I could have sworn he had a twin brother.
Does he? I'm not sure, actually. I thought it was Oscar Isaac playing, you know, whatever he's got to play.
He had a body double. He played a body double. I guess he didn't play actual Stephen Grant or whatever, but he did have a body double. But you know what? Also, could it possibly be these personalities now fighting for the body? Something maybe, like that. Something along maybe. Maybe Stephen Grant's like, dude, you had your chance. Fuck off. I want to get with Layla and fix this out. And Mark's like, no, this is my body. You know, you fuck off. And somehow they got to work together first to figure this out.
Then they got the third guy.
The third guy. What the hell is he going to be?
So, yeah. So then after that, though, when he's having this conversation with Arthur Harrow as his doctor, he decides to escape. He breaks away. Mark breaks away from these two guys. He's like, listen, I'm out of here. He ends up finding a room, though, with another Egyptian tomb, like, rattling and shaking there for a minute. And that's when we believe is the third altar who's trying to get out, because that's how he finds the first one, and it's Stephen Grant. So you see Stephen Grant, him and Stephen hug and stuff, and like, how the hell is this possible? We're both here at the same time. And then they see a third room where there's another one shaking, and that's where we believe the third altar is. And then they have a door shaking, and someone busts through. And then we find out it's a fucking hippo that walks in. It's an Egyptian god named Taurit who was there. And she's like, you know, pretty much, hi, guys. And they're like, wow! Like, and that's how the episode ends.
I love it.
Insane episode. Like, way to end it.
That hippo was so bizarre. I hope they make an action figure of that hippo. I want to own that hippo. Nice.
So I saw something thrown out there, though, that apparently Stephen Grant in the gift shop in an earlier episode was... put it going ahead and taking inventory of a box full of stuffed hippos that are this character, are Tara.
Doesn't surprise me that that's where she comes from.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what the hell, man? Like, just a really wild way to end, like, a wild episode that was crazy to start off with, and all of a sudden takes a completely different turn, and now we are where we are, and I guess we're going to probably find out pretty quickly in episode 5. Is this, are we right? And is this Stephen Grant's mind? I mean, Mark Spector's mind trying to wrestle with the concept of what the hell's going on. But now we got an Egyptian god breaking it and like trying to go ahead and find out, like maybe help them or whatever the hell's going on.
It was the first thing I started laughing hysterically. And then I don't know if you guys saw Oscar Isaac on Jimmy, the Tonight Show a couple months ago. He sang a song. And I swear to God, I wanted to TikTok it so bad. I haven't had a chance to do it yet. And the song was called Hippopotamus. And so as soon as I saw the hippopotamus, I'm going, I'm singing the song. Because I was like, this is one of the greatest songs ever written. Oscar Isaac sang it live on Jimmy Fallon. You should Google it because it's hysterical. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing I thought of. I'm like, yo, it's the hippopotamus. That's where he got the song from. That's why he sang the song. He gave us a hint months ago that the hippopotamus was coming.
Clever bastards.
I think it's insane. I think it's insane that the MCU is now embedding Easter eggs in their actors.
I'm telling you. Yep. Why else would he sing a hippopotamus song?
No, you're right. 100%.
Yeah, that's Tim. That's awesome because I didn't. I feel like I saw. No, I saw him on Stephen Colbert.
I'm gonna TikTok it one of these days when I get time. I'm gonna definitely do it because it's a hysterical song. It's like Tim. It's him on a guitar and just singing about the hippopotamus. It's fantastic.
We're gonna have to post this on the Facebook page because people have got to see this thing and see if this is what happens. All right, so I guess we'll see what happens in just a short couple of days now, because it is Sunday. We get the next episode on Wednesday, and we'll be breaking that down on our next episode. Tim, are you sticking around for our movie? I mean, I know it features your favorite person ever.
Oh, Timmy, Timbuktu, Timmy, well, you gotta stay. Timmy.
I don't know where Rick is, but I mean, Rick was supposed to be here for this, but
we're gonna drink some candy. Is because Sam Elliott's in it. That's the only reason I'll stay.
All right, so, you know, Jason and I like to have themes to our shows that we cover on this show and stuff like that. We try to come up with cool ways to link things. And there is a movie that dropped last Thursday. Was it the Impossible Weight of Massive Talent? Which I'm actually, me and Andrew are going to go see this Thursday. We're going to go check it out. It's getting good reviews and stuff. It's creating a lot of buzz. So we decided, hey, we don't have anything for a couple of weeks until Doctor Strange comes out, because we're going to talk about the first Doctor Strange before Multiverse of Madness comes out. What better time to cover Nick Cage's time as a superhero and talk about the Ghost Rider films that are here? So we took a roll back to 2007 and we watched Ghost Rider. So that's what I want to start off with. This movie came out a year before the MCU was born, and Batman Begins already existed.
That blows my mind, guys, because as I was watching this, I kept thinking, you know, for an early 2000s movie, this isn't that bad. Like, I completely forget it's a late 2000s movie, which look, might sound stupid. Like, you know, it's only a matter of a couple of years, but the leaps and bounds in technology and writing and then what we were doing with superhero movies, like, it's offensive that this came out around that time. Like, if this came out like with the, like the Fantastic Four movie and those like the other movies from the early 2000s, okay. But this late in the game, it's offensive.
I was going to go nuts on the fact that the guy who directed this and was one of the three writers on this was Mark Steven Johnson. If you don't remember, he also directed Ben Affleck's Daredevil. Another studio. Remember, this is Ghost Rider is a Sony film, so they didn't just do. Listen, we've been giving them shit lately, but let's not forget that they were also behind this, and they saw Daredevil, and they're like, let's get that guy to do our Ghost Rider movie. So, Sony, we got some problems with you, and we're gonna have to tell you about some of this.
Wait, so but the MCU now owns Ghost Rider again?
Yes, they have the rights. They have the rights because Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, which we'll be talking about on Wednesday, that movie literally only exists because Sony wanted to retain the rights for Ghost Rider, so they had to rush something into production.
Okay.
So that's the behind-the-scenes story of that. So 2007, Nick Cage, Eva Mendes, Peter Fonda as Mephisto?
That is Peter Fonda. That's terrible casting, but that is Peter Fonda.
But guys, we get to talk about Mephisto on here for real.
Yes, we do.
He's actually, for those who are unaware, he is actually in this movie. 100%. We're not speculating. We're not pretending there's Easter eggs. Mephisto exists in this film. And he's in Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance also and recasted.
Oh, it's not Peter Fonda in the second? Because no, I haven't seen that
Peter
one yet.
Fonda in the second.
Okay.
Peter Fonda and Sam Elliott said, no. No.
Look, I don't know how Sam Elliott didn't pass on this.
Dude, he's a Ghost Rider cowboy. I mean, come on, that's right up Sam Elliott's fucking wheelhouse. Redneck cowboy with my head on fire, I'm fucking in. So
I want to see the Sam Elliott movie. Fuck this movie. Fuck Nick Cage in this movie. Give me the Sam Elliott Ghost Rider Western.
When he steals the contract of, what is it? Yeah. Aspen Gonza or whatever the heck it is.
The contract of MacGuffin.
It's yeah, my pretty favorite much. Contract. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I'm in.
Yeah. That I would like to see that. He, there's some really shoddy acting in this movie at times.
I don't know what you're talking about, Edward. That's crazy talk. Let me drink my Reese's Pieces.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's weird. That's a weird thing.
Hey, do you remember when you went to see it?
I do. I don't remember seeing this in the theater.
What did I say going in? If he's good in this movie, and this is a good movie, I will not bother Nicolas Cage anymore. Because I've never liked the guy.
Yeah.
Everyone knows. Like, he's good in this. I will never bother him again. Uh-huh.
Well, I guess let's start off talking about it. We'll start off with Johnny Blaze, Ghost Rider, and Nick Cage as him, because that's the face of this thing. Jason, I want to start with you on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's nice. Comics accurate one. Pretty I actually cool one. Like this one.
Pretty cool one. What's your take on Nick Cage's first turn as Ghost Rider and Johnny Blaze?
All right, so let me preface what I'm about to say is I like Nick Cage for the most part, not because I think he's a good actor, because I don't, but because he's interesting. Like, he can be a good actor. He has stuff. Like, the movie Adaptation, when he does, like, weird art movies, he's really good.
He has won an Oscar. Yes.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, he can act. He knows what he's doing, but Nick Cage is a weird, eccentric, who's always doing crazy shit. And even when it's terrible, it's interesting, right? That's my opinion of Nick Cage. So, like, I don't mind him. I didn't hate him in this movie, but I think he's terribly miscast. And he's a terrible Johnny Blaze. Like, I think he's too old for the role. I don't think he gets the role. Like, you know, I don't know what he's doing. Like, he makes like Nick Cage has this thing where when he, I don't know if it's, if he doesn't, when he doesn't feel like acting or when he wants to put a Nick Cage stamp on a role, he's like, all right guys. So, I'm going to give my character all these weird character traits, you know? So like in The Rock, it's like, I don't curse and I love the Beatles and I sit naked and I play my guitar while disarming bombs. Right. And that's weird Nick Cage shit in The Rock. And then Con Air, it's like, I got this hair and I'm a pacifist, even though I killed a man with my bare hands, but I got a bunny, you know, he's always got this weird stuff. So this is just like weird Nick Cage. Like I watch macaque videos and I drink coffee from the pot and I don't drink alcohol, even though I'm a daredevil. I drink Reese's peanut butter. It's like, dude, no, what are you doing? Like, it's interesting to watch, but it, like, it's not fucking Ghost Rider. It's not Johnny Blaze. Like, if I was a huge Ghost Rider fan, let's say if I was like, if I like Ghost Rider, like I like, who's a really obscure someone I like? Like, I don't know, Nightcrawler. Love Nightcrawler, right? If I loved Ghost Rider, like, Walker. Huh? Well, I kind of just saw who was at hand. So, but like, if I got like a Nightcrawler movie and it was this accurate, like if I was that Ghost or the Ghost Rider fan, I'd be pissed. I'd be fuming. I'd hate this movie because it's not Ghost Rider.
Yeah. I guess that's why, because the episode we're going to really have to hold into it is when we cover Ben Affleck's Daredevil and that comes around, I'm going to make sure 100% Rick has to appear in this because that's his guy besides Hawkeye. And that's why that movie totally drove him completely insane.
I can see that.
Tim, do I even need to dare ask what you think of Nick Cage in this movie as Ghost Rider?
Next. Sure.
Yeah.
No, it's more like, I told you. I told you, and now you understand why I can't stand the man.
Tim, I have a very important question for you since you're not going to answer that, and I really need your honest answer. Do you still like Italian?
So bad, dude. So, and you know what it is? I want to like the guy because he does a lot of stuff that I think is interesting, but it's like I can't because it's him.
Are you going to see The Impossible Weight of Massive Talent?
I want to see that actually because I think that's him being him to the extreme.
Yeah.
And then he got The Mandalorian in there. He got Doogie Howser in there. I'll go see that. I mean, I have no problem going to see that movie.
All right, MPH is in it?
MPH is in there.
Dude, everyone's in this movie. Everyone's in this movie.
I got to see it.
Tim, we're going to Atlas on Thursday night. I didn't tell Jason has his D&D night. So
yeah, I got my D&D night. So. Yeah, and I'm actually out this week, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you want to join us, let me know. I'll let you know. We'll talk about that offline. Cool. I have some questions about Ghost Rider, and I need to know them, and maybe some of you guys can help me out. All right. So because most of my notes are ends in the question mark. So why does Ghost Rider start seeking vengeance in this movie? Like, he's there, he's searching Blackheart, and he kind of just decides to go after and stop a robbery, which, by the way, is Rebel Wilson in a cameo where she's getting robbed by some random dude.
Yes.
And it introduces the penance there.
And my wife is a huge Rebel Wilson fan. Like, huge. And so I didn't remember she was in this movie because I haven't seen this movie since before I knew who the fuck Rebel Wilson was. But I saw it, I was like, oh my god, what a fun Easter egg. I didn't tell Reg about that.
Yeah, and she's actually pretty funny in that because she gets interviewed by, you know, by Roxy eventually, and they ask her. No, it's actually not Roxy. It's about this other reporter who's really bad. That dude is horrible that's interviewing her. But she's got a funny moment there. So I didn't understand that. Jason, it's funny that you mentioned how Nick Cage seems to be too old to be Johnny Blaze in this movie. And he has this really weird hair thing going on, which I don't know what the hell that's about.
That's got to be a piece, right?
Oh, it has to be.
Yeah.
For sure. So Johnny Blaze at one point mentions that to the cops, he's like, yeah, I want to go ahead. And when I'm done doing this Daredevil stuff, I want to be a motor cop. At what age? When you're like 60?
Yeah.
You think the police force in Texas is going to hire you to be a motor cop at that point in time?
Like, isn't Johnny
be strange?
Isn't Johnny Blaze in the comic like in his 20s, early 30s tops? Like, he's a younger guy. He's not in his 40s, 50s. Like,
yeah, he's arrogant asshole Daredevil. That's right. Exactly what he is.
Not Nick Cage in this movie.
No. And the thing is, he's not arrogant in this movie. He's just weird. Like,
yeah, even
when when he drives up on Eva Mendez, he's
eccentric.
Yeah, well, again, that's the Nick Cage school of character building. Add weird quirks to your character that no one has.
So he also has this like trend. So he gets arrested by the police at one point, and he's there, and he uncovers a wrongful arrest because everyone in there, he is going to go ahead, and only the innocent are going to survive once he flames on, for lack of a better term. And the one kid who's in there, I guess, was innocent. So I guess he uncovers that. And then he gets his motorcycle, the hell cycle. He goes ahead and escapes the police, rides up the side of a building that happens to be right across from where Roxy Simpson is. Was he doing this to show off to get her attention?
I don't know.
Kind of seemed like it. That's a real dick move, hero of the movie. Because everywhere you drive, cars are exploding, glass is exploding. Like, what the fuck, dude?
I thought
that was odd.
And you're going to ask a lot of questions, and we're just going to go.
I want to make sure I'm not the only one asking these questions.
I have a really big question here, and that is, why does Mephisto, trademark patent pending, show up and go, oh, I can save your father, Johnny. Sign this with your blood, Johnny, and it'll save your father from the cancer. And then kill him the next day. And then he kills him the next day. Oh, yes, I saved him from the cancer, Johnny. That's not even how he sounds. If I played Mephisto, that's how I would play it.
Oh.
But, yeah, that's it. But then he's like, oh, I'm going to call on you at some point, Johnny. At some point, I'm going to ask you for a fee. Like, he godfathers him, right? And then Johnny Blaze goes, like, from, you know, what was he, 15 to 45 in current day?
Right? Yes. Yeah, we can say that.
And he's not ghost. There's no ghost riding, right? Like, it's like, why did Mephisto go, I'm gonna put a pin in this one. I'll tap you in 40 years when I need you. Like, what? You didn't need him. What? Why did you show up specifically for him? Like, you did not need a Ghost Rider until you were going against your son.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, for sure. You're right. Until Blackheart shows up, there's no reason for having. I guess maybe, and that's part of the problem with the right. My big problem with this movie is the writing. The writing and the directing is my main problem with it. Because I honestly do think that with a better director and a better writer, this movie probably would have been much better.
Agreed.
And Nick Cage probably would have been better, or they would have casted somebody else, one or the other. And that's where I think this movie totally falls apart, and that should have been explained. Why the hell does he need a ghostwriter? Because maybe he always has a writer. And 2 seconds could have explained that.
Yep. That's right. It.
It's weird.
Just something like even Sam Elliott, like, you know, because they make it say they make it seem like, or I think they actually say Sam Elliott was the writer before him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so Mephisto, you went 100+ years without a writer, and then you tapped Johnny Blaze and went peace for 40 years. I mean, I don't understand that. Like, and I from my understanding of the character, and granted, I've never read a Ghost Rider comic book, but I've read a lot of, like, Ghost Rider shows up in a lot of stuff. I still own the 90s run where him, Grey Hulk, Spider-Man, and
the new Fantastic Four.
Yes, exactly. It's the only Fantastic Four I own. So, like, I've read a lot about the character. I thought, like, the whole character was, once he makes that pact, he is, like, at certain times, almost like a werewolf. He flips into Ghost Rider mode. He can't control it. He does his stuff, and then he wakes up, and he's Johnny Blaze again. I didn't realize it was like, nah, just sit and chill until I need you, and if I never need you, you're fine. Like, that part of the plot didn't make sense to me.
Well, maybe Sam Elliott was doing such a great job. They didn't need him until later on.
But Sam Elliott's like, Sam Elliott is like, has screwed him over. Sam Elliott's living on hallowed ground protecting the MacGuffin papers, you know? So I don't think he's been ghost riding this whole time.
Agreed. I don't think he's been ghost riding at all, which leads to a lot of other questions about this movie. So Mephisto, by the way, not great at this whole thing, because you're kind of like, keep on giving away this Ghost Rider curse. And these guys keep turning in. So you might want to reconsider that whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, if only I would put something where you get the Ghost Rider curse, but you have to obey me. Yes, I'll do that for the next one.
Yeah.
Like, then he forgets.
Oh, darn. I forgot I was so busy.
I forgot to add that to the bottom of the contract. Son of a bitch.
I mean, Blackheart was a baby. We were raising him. Very busy in hell.
You know what this is? It seems like the person who wrote this never read a comic, anything. They just got the Cliff's Notes. This is it. This is what happens. This is what has to be done. Go write the movie. That's what it seems like. It's, you know.
Interesting, guys, because I'm Jason's reaction to this is going to be priceless, because I'm going to guess that I'm the one who looked up who wrote the, there's three writers on this movie.
Oh, no, I did not look this up.
Three.
Okay, three of them. So you know what happened. Somebody wrote a script. The other two, the other one rewrote it, and then the other one really rewrote it.
Oh, yeah, called the Chop Shop.
Uh-huh. One of them was David S. Goyer.
Get the fuck out of here.
Now, if you're watching this, you know he wrote Batman Begins, which, by the way, came out a few years before this. He wrote The Dark Knight, which came out a year after this. And he also wrote Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., starring David Hasselhoff. And he also wrote some of the Blade movies.
I have no concept of time. You know that, right? If you had told me that Ghost Rider came out in between Batman Begins and Dark Knight, I would have said no fucking way.
Uh-huh. So I'm hoping that he was the guy who started, wrote the first draft, and then the other two chopped it up. Because we don't know what you get. When you get David S. Goyer, shit, it could be great. It could be the worst thing you've ever seen.
That literally, like, there is no middle ground with that man. It's amazing or it's garbage, and you just roll the dice and take your chances.
It's astonishing.
I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he's either the one who wrote the original or did the second pass. Like, okay. I don't think this is like a David S. Goyer stamp. This is his movie. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's involved. And we did say there's stuff in this movie that works, and there's stuff that could work if treated properly. So, you know, I'd like to, the romantic in me would like to believe that's all him.
So And then, so let's just say, let's get back to Mephisto for a second.
Oh, yes, Eddie. Let's get back to Mephisto.
And Ghost Rider, because I want to wrap up the Ghost Rider part, because then we gotta talk about Roxy Simpson for a second. So he goes ahead and says, oh, Caretaker has one ride left in him, which, by the way, he takes with him at the end, and it looks cool.
Oh,
that's one thing that looks great.
It is but the best looking shot in the movie.
Completely pointless, because then halfway there, he's like, sorry, kid, that's all I got left in me. I'll see you later. I'm out of here. What? I thought we were fucking going to go tag team like these guys, like this Blackheart and his random goons and his Mephisto, and you're out? What?
Yeah. Why even put that scene in?
Just for the visual.
Yeah.
That was it.
I mean, they could have put that visual anywhere in the movie. Like, that could have been your last shot. Oh, you've done it, Ghost Rider. Now I'm going to go get the dude. You want some? Let's Ghost Rider. You know?
See, and that's why it's good to have guys like Johnny Blaze out there.
Ghost Rider abides.
Ghost Rider abides.
So bad.
So the transition, we transition to Roxy, though, but like, one thing is that after that scene I mentioned earlier in the movie where he makes this grand entrance and he goes up the side of the building, he takes out these cops that are not evil or not, you know, from escape from hell or anything like that. So he somehow takes them off and pretty much tells them to go fuck off and goes down there. The firing squad from all the police there are about to take aim at him and start firing guns at him, which, by the way, I don't know why you're going to think to do that. Because if you just saw what this dude did, you're pretty much sure a bullet ain't going to do the job.
Look,
Roxy, but hold on. Roxy goes in front of them, though, Jason. Hold on. Roxy goes in front of them, in front of the firing squad. They fire away. Like, nah, we're not going to shoot this innocent woman. We're just going to fire at Ghost Rider. What in the holy fuck? And Sammy, I thought of you when I was watching this because I was like, well, at least there's no crowd of random civilians watching it, I guess.
There was no barricade set up or anything.
No barricades. Right? Like, hey, put the crowd over here and make sure we got like the guy selling hot dogs and beer to watch this whole fucking thing. Jason, go ahead. I'm sorry. You were going to talk about Ghost Rider.
I was just going to say, when this motherfucker comes up to you, you're really going to fire guns at him? Like, he's a skull. He's a leather-clad skeleton on fire. Bullets? What are bullets going to do to this guy?
Well, that's it. You know, that's every movie. I mean, everyone shoots at Superman. It's like, by now, you should be like, listen, you know the bullet's not going to kill the guy. I think it's just a dumb, knee-jerk reaction by criminals.
All right,
makes sense. No, but these are the police. This is the entire police department.
Police, too, though. I think you just panic. Like, I got a gun. I'm going to, you know, because, how many times has Superman been shot? It's like, that's dude, it's not going to work. Nothing is going to happen.
Oh, but Jason, don't worry. In a couple of days when you watch Spirit of Vengeance, there's definitely something with people shooting at Ghost Rider that I am dying for you to see. Because there's something he does with those bullets. Woo!
That movie's really bad, right?
Have I seen that movie? I don't even know if I've seen that one.
Oh, my God. Tim, if you haven't seen that movie, please watch it. And please join us on Wednesday because I need your reaction.
Is it streaming anywhere?
It is. If you have Stars, by any chance, it's on Stars. I have a 7-day free trial of Stars, and guess what? I activated to make sure I watch these two movies, and then it's getting canceled.
You can't. What is it called?
You can stream it on Amazon if you have Stars.
What about on demand? I mean,
yeah, you can. It's
all right. I'll watch it.
By the way, Tim, for the record, guys. And I told this to Jason on Amazon Prime through Stars. I watched the extended cut of this movie. There's an extra 10 minutes. That's what I saw. So I don't even know what was not in it because I don't even remember. I found, by the way, Ghost Rider very robotic when he spoke and moved and stuff. It was just like, yeah, guilty.
He was a dumb animal. It was like Frankenstein.
For no reason. But he looked cool. I liked the look of Ghost Rider. I thought he looked cool. It just seemed like the way he moved and spoke was like Frankenstein's monster, and that was kind of dumb.
And again, that's in comparison with like Nick Caging it out. You know, it's like I don't know. I'm not saying I want Nick Cage's voice as Ghost Rider because I don't like Nick Cage's Johnny Blaze, but like I don't know. Have some connection between the Ghost Rider and the Johnny Blaze character, and they feel too different to me.
Yeah, they're two totally different things, and oh man, I can't wait for Wednesday because Jason, when we talk about Nick Cage, Nick Caging out, Ghost Rider's Spirit of Vengeance. He goes all out.
I know that there's a particularly infamous scene where he's like scratching at the door. At least I'm excited to see that.
And Idris Elba's in that movie too.
Get the F out of here, really?
Uh-huh. Oh yeah. It's gonna be a treat. It's gonna be a treat. And I put that in quotes.
I gotta get my Idris Elba action figure ready. And yes, I do have one.
So I guess that brings us to his love interest, Moxie Simpson, in this movie, played by Eva Mendes. Who's my favorite part of this movie?
Who can't do no wrong in Ed's eyes?
That's fine. It's all good. I mean, you know, the acting is so-so, but, you know.
But now I have another question for you guys, and it's very serious. Am I attractive? Am I good-looking?
Okay. Jason, I texted you and... Right.
I know. That's why I set you up for it, Ed.
Dude, that's the most unbelievable thing out of anything that I've mentioned. I will tell you that Mephisto is real. Finally, and even on this show, I will tell you, believe in a guy with a flaming skull on his head going ahead and being the spirit of vengeance for the devil. It's fine. But there's that scene where he goes and Ghost Rider's off for the first time ever, and he's supposed to be meeting her on like a reunion date type of thing. She gets wasted on a bunch of wine, and she goes to this random waiter and is like, you think I'm pretty, right? And then he all of a sudden he's like, and walks away.
It's almost Ray Stantz needs to sit him down from Ghostbusters. No, not Ray Stantz. Bill Murray's character, and go, when Eva Mendes asks you if she's pretty, you say yes.
Yes! Guys, you know who I felt like watching this movie? You know what I felt like? Tim, I know you've seen it. Jason, have you ever seen The Other Guys?
Yes, I have.
So you know Will Ferrell's Mark Wahlberg's character in that movie?
Yes, yes.
When he sees Will Ferrell, so I'm looking at this, I'm like, Nick Cage is Johnny Blaze.
Yes.
Is with this Roxy Simpson. Once I was Mark Wahlberg in that thing.
That's perfect, yeah.
I was just blown away by that. So it was one of these crazy castings, but about the character herself, though. So in that scene when she goes ahead and she has this dating thing, she stood up by Johnny. She pulls out a magic eight ball out of her purse and shakes it to ask it a question. So is Roxy always walking around with magic eight ball in her purse?
That's her quirky thing.
Does she take it on dates, maybe?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Nick Cage, because I'm sure he said, whoever, you know what you got to do is you got to have a magic eight ball with you. And by the way, shaking a magic eight ball, you're never supposed to do it. Messes it up. It causes bubbles in the water. You're supposed to turn it.
She does shake it, right?
Everyone does that. Everyone does that on TV or in movies when you have a magic eight ball. Like, oh, shake that magic eight ball. It's like you're destroying it. You're
supposed to turn it.
Flip it.
Yeah.
I have a Darth Vader magic ball right behind me. So, yes, I know.
So, yeah, that was weird. I thought that was one of the strangest things about it. Well, we mentioned her in the shooting gallery that's about to happen to Johnny Blaze and somehow doesn't get hit by any of these bullets. And they also choose to fire on her that she's in the way. The first time they meet, though, she shows up completely out of nowhere out of this, like, hallway. And she goes and they do this interview on TV with Johnny Blaze, which I wonder if the people who wrote this have ever seen someone interview someone else in their entire lives, because that's not how an interview is done. I mean, am I wrong here? It's just really odd and awkward. It's weird. And then Jason, you mentioned the scene where after that, he goes after her on the side of the road and is trying to catch up to her.
Yeah. It's such a bizarre scene because they have the interview and he's like, he agrees to the interview because it's her. But, you know, he's so cool. He never interviews, you know. Oh, yeah, rum-tum-tumma, whatever the hell he does, right? And, but he sees it's her. And Donald Logue is in this movie, guys.
Yes.
Like, and look, we all understand he's got the stink of Gotham on him. But I actually really like that actor a lot.
He's also in Blade. We've covered him on this show.
We have. Yes, we have. He's in Blade. I always remember him in that really fun show, Grounded for Life, which I thought he was fun in. You guys remember
that from the... That was a good show. I like that show.
Me too. So he's in it, and like he's his manager, and like he's like, no, no, Johnny Blaze never does interviews, and he sees his old girlfriend, and he's like, oh, I do this interview. But then the interview is just like, so Johnny's like, so you want to go out later? It's like, it's so, he's not even, he's being so awkward. Oh, you still love me? I ride a motorcycle, you know? It's like, how about, what are you doing later? Well, I don't know. Do you still like Italian?
And that's where it comes into play.
That's where it comes into. And then, like, she somehow leaves with a good impression of him because he gave her the interview. I mean, quote unquote, he kind of just sexually harassed her on the air, but
and that's where I was Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, that's where I was him.
Right? It's like, what? See, this is working. But then he takes off in his like daredevil motorcycle. Oh, after the fact, right? Because this is before he does his death-defying stunt. And this is the one where Donald Logue is, oh, you'll be okay, right? We've done this. And it's like, no, and now it's a vat of sharks with lasers he's jumping because he came to the last minute. And he jumps the vat of sharks with lasers and they're shooting. No, no, that nothing ever happens. But he jumps.
Dude, it ain't far off. He jumps like 10 helicopters.
I know, it's fuck? So stupid. And he lands and the first thing he does is, I gotta go see if she wants to get Italian. He takes off down the highway and they're stuck in traffic. And he like he's riding up for they're not stuck in traffic, they're driving. He's riding up alongside, and she's not even paying attention to him. And then he goes to the other side of the van and he's trying to get her person, the person who works for her, to stop. And then he's doing these weird fun tricks where he's like going backward and going forward, and it's like, what a weird scene this was. And then the way he stops them is, I guess I'm going to have to do this the old-fashioned way. It's just something like that. And he goes, speeds ahead, and just goes in front of the car and stops and just goes, all right then, you know? Like, it's just,
for me, that scene was the scene in Daredevil in the park, in the playground. That's what that scene reminded me of. So awkward, so bizarre. And it's almost like Mark Steven Johnson. I have to question, like, have you ever spoken to, like, someone you're, like, interested in or something like that? Because it seems like that's not the case.
It's funny. The way I met my wife is we were both doing trapeze artistry.
You know, if you take that scene out of Daredevil, it's a completely different movie, by the way. Not that it's a good movie, but it's a completely different movie.
I'm sure it grounds the movie a lot.
That scene ruined the entire movie.
But this scene is, I mean, this.
No, it's bad.
This movie's bad. But this scene was the most awkward scene, I think, in the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
By far. And I guess it's, I mean, how can we not talk a little bit more about Sam Elliott's caretaker? Like, he's pretty badass in this. I mean, he's Sam Elliott, so he's badass in fucking everything.
I love him in this. I love Sam Elliott just in general. Like, there is nothing Sam Elliott. Like, if you said to me, you know, hey, you want to watch Roadhouse? Yeah, Sam Elliott. Oh, you want to watch Parks and Rec? Can we watch the Sam Elliott episodes? Like, mm-hmm. He's fucking electric in everything he does. And this is no exception. I am going to say, I'm saying he's the best part of this movie.
That's the reason I saw this movie originally. That is the only reason.
Was it
Sam Elliott? Sam Elliott. Yes.
I was like, oh, comic book movie. All right, Ghost Rider. Oh, even Mendes is. Oh, okay, I'm in. Let's go. Oh, Sam Elliott. Yes, let's go. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sam Elliott.
Well, that's because of my anti Nick Cage state. It was still back then. So I was like, I don't want to see Nick Cage play Ghost Rider. Sam Elliott said, okay, I'll go see Sam Elliott in Ghost Rider. No problem.
Yeah, so he's badass in this. Yeah, I mean, action-wise, yes, he's the best part of this movie, and he's just cool as shit, as always.
And that's the thing is, like, this is the stuff that I think works. And I had texted you, Ed, mm-hmm. and Rick, that I think there's something here that if the MCU does want to do, like, a Ghost Rider MCU movie, because we talked about this, like, Ed, you and I off camera, like, we get Ghost Rider in... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has a very tenuous role in the overall MCU. Like, some of that stuff counts and some of it doesn't. It all depends on what the movies want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if they wanted to do a Johnny Blaze, like, make it a modern-day Western and get, like, just get fucking Sam Elliott back as a caretaker and give him more of a part. And because that would have been cool. Imagine if Sam Elliott was actually – that the movie was about Johnny Blaze getting his curse, not waiting 40 years for it to emerge, mm-hmm. but him having to deal with that as a young man just losing his father, and he goes off like on, you know, he does his hero's journey, sojourn, runs into the caretaker who then takes him under his wing and trains him how to ghost ride and is like his mentor. Like, and I think that's kind of what this movie wants to do, but it doesn't do it.
No, it doesn't do it at all.
You know, and then you make it like, and I think, again, this movie kind of wants to do it, but doesn't, but you make it like a modern day Western, right? Like, yeah, the caretaker rode a horse. Johnny Blaze rides a motorcycle. It's the same fucking thing, except this is the 21st century. And actually have the themes, and I think the MCU could do this, because they're like, they love to genre hop. Actually have the themes and sort of character tropes of Westerns, but ground, you know, bring it into the Johnny Blaze universe. I think that's the way to go. And some of that is there. That's what kills me about this movie, is some of that is there. And so at some point there was that intention. It just, the chop shop of writers, it just gets lost.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's what I was saying before, is like, they're the skeleton, the lack of, like, no pun intended.
The flaming skeleton of this movie. The flaming
skeleton of this movie has very good intentions. It's just the execution is shit. The writing, the directing, and that's where I throw the acting on a directing, because, you know, we also have, I mean, whatever, you think what you want to think of Nick Cage, whether it's good acting and bad acting, fine. No, yes, Eva Mendes is not always the greatest actress. She's good in certain things and bad in other things. This, not great in this, obviously, but again, I'm not going to fault anyone in this movie on it. But you also have Wes Bentley coming off American Beauty, who was in that, and he's Blackheart in this movie, and he's awful.
Terrible villain
choice. He's terrible in this movie.
He's terrible. The villain choice is terrible. The conflict is terrible. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't. Is that what the Ghost Rider comic is? Ed, I'm deferring to you because you've read more.
I'm not going to say I'm the,
like this.
Yeah, I mean, I've read some Ghost Rider, but not a ton of Ghost Rider. So I'm not going to act like I'm the expert on him. But from what I've seen, I mean, it's just better formed than this is. I mean, Blackheart looks completely different than this. Because I also think this is a Mark Steven Johnson thing, where if you remember in Daredevil, he had to change the look of Bullseye to make him look a certain way. He had to change the look of Daredevil and make it like this realistic. Because you remember superhero movies, comic book movies at the time, they had to, like, they were scared to go all in and just be what it is.
Right. Black Costume ended up, X-Men.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, Black Costume X-Men. So that's what I feel happens in this movie. Ghost Rider looks fine. He looks cool in it. Just could have been a little bit smoother. But Blackheart and Mephisto is where it's like, yeah, we're going to give him this, like, skull cane, and that's what he's going to do. We're going to make Blackheart, instead of looking at what he looks like, we're going to go ahead and we're going to give him, like, this, like, goth look, like, Hot Topic look. If you played, let's see, Marvel versus Capcom or any of those games, you've seen Blackheart. Blackheart is a character in those games.
Blackheart was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., wasn't he? Like, briefly? Or am I thinking of someone else?
I think you're thinking of Absorbing Man. Or maybe...
No, it's not Absorbing Man. It might not be him, but it's someone who gets like, shot with something that screws up their, you know, whatever it is, and they start transforming into this demonic-looking thing.
No, and I think that's not Blackheart.
That's not Blackheart. Okay. No. Okay.
So, yeah, then that's where this thing gets, like, totally botched up. And is that scene where Blackheart's there and he, like, his crew shows up one by one. One's like water and one is like smoke or something, or like a cloud. And he starts, like, introducing them by names and one by one. And guess what? I don't remember any of their names because it was fucking so terribly done. I don't give a fuck. Yeah,
they had names. I didn't.
Exactly. Exactly. The biggest thing with this is that this movie is so incredibly cheesy.
Yes. It's
so cheesy, and it just tries so hard to be so cool, and, like, it just doesn't fucking work. And to me, you had the talent there for the most part, but you just totally, like, shit the bed with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a strong director can rein Nick Cage in.
Yes.
I mean, look, I cannot believe I'm giving Michael Bay any props at all, but he did The Rock, and I love The Rock. Yes. And I think Nick Cage is actually really entertaining and good in The Rock, and that is I'm sure that's Michael Bay going, Nick, yeah, we're gonna shoot it your way, and then you're gonna shut the fuck up and do what I tell you, and then I'm gonna use that, okay?
Boom, explosion, boom. fire, cut to the hot chick. All right, cool, let's go.
But I would argue
that's a Michael Bay movie. That's how he directs the entire movie.
But I would argue that is every movie post Rock, because The Rock actually does some stuff.
Listen, you know, I don't mind Nick Cage and the fucking Declaration of Independence. What's that called? National Treasure.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I like movies that interact with real life things, like the Statue of Liberty is really a giant laser. I like shit like that. I think that shit's cool. I did not mind him in that movie. So I said, maybe you're right. Maybe it just takes a certain director. You're like, dude, I like your idea. Dude, we're going to shoot it your way, where you're fucking, you know, singing show tunes and fucking eating candy.
Right,
then, exactly. then we're going to shoot it my way, and we'll see which one works the best. Right, exactly. Okay, that's a good idea.
Because
Nick Cage never makes it.
And you know that's what good directors do. Like, that's how you get good performance out of him. Because he's a madman. Nick Cage, as a human being, is a madman. I think we all know that. And Nick Cage, like, approaches these roles where I'm going to do all this crazy stuff. And you can't tell him no. He's Nick Cage. You got to let him do what he wants. But you also got to get a usable shots for your movie, you know?
Yeah. I will admit, I like some Nick Cage movies. I do love The Rock. I mean, it's been so forever, but I mean, I got fun with Con Air.
Oh, Con Air's great.
Yeah, Con Air's fun.
Con Air, everyone overacts in that movie. So it's
And that's when he's fine, because if everyone's in on it, then screw it. Everyone do it.
That movie's just like, turn the brain off, get some salty snacks, and just be like, great movie, man. Great movie.
Yeah, it's like, whatever. So there's some. I am really looking forward to Thursday night seeing Impossible Weight of Massive Talent. So. I don't hate the guy, but
and I think for this movie a better choice, because one of my biggest problems with this movie, outside of everything we've said, is the villain and just how weak and non-existent the villain is. I never feel stakes, like, and the stakes are supposed to be big. You get the contract with the MacGuffin, and that, and you let hell on earth, like, that's big. But like, I never feel those stakes. It never feels like anything's really. There's ever anything really pressing. And I think, like, a better way to have done that is to get rid of, like, the elemental death posse. And since Blackheart is Mephisto's son, have Blackheart tap his own rider. You know what I mean? And then you have a Ghost Rider versus a Dark Rider, whatever the hell you want to call it. And give Mephisto and Blackheart, like, an actual... Like, because they interact, but it's like, but give them actually, like, something to do with each other while their avatars are fighting, right? Like, they're the puppet masters. Then they're the puppets. Like, I don't know. I just think there's something that could have been done much better to really make the conflict and the villain work. Because what's here is, like, what's this, a two-hour movie? We have an hour of Nick Cage setting up his fun, quirky Johnny Blaze. And then an hour of just, like,
guilty, you know? Stare into my eyes.
I mean, it's just so unbalanced. Like, and so I don't know. But again, there's so many things they could have done right with this movie that it just they didn't.
And the last fight between them is just so lame and underwhelming. It's just total garbage. It sucks, man. So I guess. Jason, I have a question. Tim can answer this as well. Jason, was Ghost Rider better than Moonraker for those who watched 00 Deep Dive? Because we had this conversation.
100%. 120% If you put a gun to my head and you told me I had to watch Moonraker or Ghost Rider, like right now, Ghost Rider. And Tim, then I'd watch it again just to make a point.
This is interesting, actually, because I remember, Tim, aren't you a fan of Moonraker?
When I was a kid.
You were a kid, okay.
Jaws pops up. I loved it.
Yes.
Have I seen it in long enough? That's why I couldn't go on the show, because I hadn't even had a chance to watch it to be able to interact correctly. You can put a gun to my head?
Yes. You're going to choose one, Rick, I know.
No, I won't. Simply because, like you said, Sam Elliott, and I can stare at Ava Mendez. So that's good enough reason for me to pick, you know.
Yeah,
you got to use logic when two movies suck.
And look, for the record, because we didn't clear it up before, Ava Mendez, very pretty in this movie.
Yes, and Ryan Gosling retired her from actor being an actress. A couple of, I forgot how many years ago it was, because she like retired from acting to just be a mom.
It's a full-time job.
I mean, listen, I don't knock her for it, but like, hey, listen.
Totally ruined the Fast franchise. Totally ruined it.
Oh, is that why the Fast franchise?
Well, you know, when you lose so much family and you have to keep writing new family in that you haven't heard of before.
I can't wait till Aquaman's going to be in there now. It'll be great.
Everyone, yes, that's right. Ooh, maybe they're going to go to Atlantis next. Fast and the Furious underwater?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so that's pretty much wraps it up for this week for Granny's Peach Tea.
Oh, by the way, before we go, I want to read the text that I sent to you and Rick last night because you told me I had to read it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Because Rick had said that the pain in watching this movie is our penance. And of course, I had one of my moments of realization. So here's my theory, that the movie itself is Ghost Rider, right? And us watching it, the watching it is the penance stare. And the fact that we would watch something this bad, which sinned against the source material, is our crime, so we deserve what we get. So we are being, the movie is just punishment for us who watch every comic book movie. And I think we deserve it.
We did. We went into it. We knew what we were getting into. We've all seen it. And we did it. So we get what you deserve. As you said in the Joker a couple of weeks ago.
That's right. Yep.
All right. So that does wrap it up for this week for Granny's Peach Tea. Thanks for joining us. If you joined us on Facebook, go ahead and like and then subscribe. I'm sorry. Go ahead and join the group for Granny's Peach Tea. We got a bunch of cool stuff that doesn't make it on air. Daily conversation. Tim's there. Jason's there. Everyone's there chiming in. It's a lot of fun. So come and join us. Go ahead and join a Pop Culture Pros group as well. Same lots of fun stuff from all walks of life that are on there, so check that out. If you're catching us on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, subscribe to Pop Culture Pros. Same thing with Twitter, go ahead and follow us at Pop Culture Pros. And if it's your Instagram, follow them or whatever Instagram does. I don't have Instagram, so follow whatever, like it. And then subscribe if you found this on a podcast, whether it's on Spotify or Apple iTunes. There's a lot of cool stuff besides Granny's Peach Tea. We're going to be back in just a couple of days because we're going to be covering episode 5 of Moon Knight, and we're going to be covering Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
Yeah, we're scratching at the door of that movie.
We are scratching at the door to see it. Tim, oh my God, I really hope you watch Ghost Rider.
I will watch it at work this week sometime.
Because your head might explode, I'm just saying. And then we'll have a new episode of Superman and Lois to talk about, and Naomi. So come join us on Wednesday night for that. If you're into wrestling, like some AEW or WWE, you can check out. And if you like Tim, which you heard here tonight, go ahead, check out Tim and Eric on the Just Too Sweet show. You guys are on Tuesday this week?
Tuesday.
And you're back Friday for the A to Z show.
And I'm back Friday for the A to Z show.
And from what I understand, Tim, you and Eric come everything. From
acid to Zyrtec.
Anything you want to hear. That's what they're covering there. Hilarious show. Check them out on Friday nights. If you're into baseball, you can go out. If you're a Yankees fan, go join us. We have recorded an episode earlier tonight. Check out me and Lisa on the Empire 161 show. We'll be back next Sunday night, recapping a week in Yankees baseball. If you're into the Mets, check out Farachi and Rodriguez and Keith. You go ahead and check out the Put It in the Book show. That's our show for the Mets. Tim, are you guys doing an unsportsmanlike conduct or
we are going live from the the first, I don't want to say the first round because that's like 5 hours. We will stay if the Giant unless the Giants trade down, then yeah, we'll do the whole first round. If the Giants pick their picks, we'll probably do top 10, top 15, but we will be live through the entire process. That's already like a 3-hour show. I'm going to be drinking. I think Farachi's going to be drinking. So it's going to be a fun show Thursday night live. Pop in, pop out, say hi. We'll be doing that.
Oh, so you're not coming to see the movie with me and Andy. No. That's not happening. So that's
I forgot the draft was Thursday, but yeah, that's right. That's Thursday.
Yeah,
draft.
So that's fine. We've answered that question on there. It's all good. So if you're into football, if you're into the Giants, go ahead and check out. Is it going to be unsportsmanlike conduct or is it
unsportsmanlike conduct? Unsportsmanlike conduct.
All right. So go ahead and check that out. And if you're into Disney, you can go ahead and check out Skyliner Views. I don't know when they're coming back, because if you guys are doing that Thursday, then they're not going to be in their spot. So they'll be bouncing around. They'll figure it out. So go ahead and check that out. And Double O Deep Dive will be off tomorrow night, but I'm sure I'll be back next week. But if you like, go ahead and like what you heard from Jason tonight. You can go, and sometimes I join him when possible.
Yeah, he's only missed the Roger Moore ones, guys. He was diligent up until we got to Roger Moore, and then it was all of a sudden like, ooh, baseball started. Sorry, I cannot join you for the old Roger Moore. But I'm sure baseball will be over about the time you get to Sean Connery.
Oh, that would be hilarious if that somehow happened. Hey, listen. I showed up for Moonraker.
You did. Okay. You did. I can't give you shit, man. You
that
did.
Should make up for the last three, okay?
It absolutely did. I really, in all fairness, cannot give you shit because you literally went, I cannot join you for the best of the Roger Moore movies. I will join you for the worst.
Yes, that's the least I can do to make it up to you and Jenny. So there is that.
Yeah, but we're not going on tomorrow, and that's my fault because I had off this week, which and so did my son, which just meant that I had less time to do things because I was with my son all week. So I didn't have time to watch the movie. So we're gonna take a week off anyway. We got to recover from Moonraker. That was a rough one. But we're gonna come back next Monday, and we're gonna be doing For Your Eyes Only, which is the first of the James Bond movies not to be based on an Ian Fleming novel. It's the first to be based on, it's actually based on two short stories, which I'm trying to get through now to see so I can talk about it on the air. So now we're into like, you know, we're running out of fuel almost, you know, mm-hmm. from the source material. So join us next Monday, 8:30 for that.
All right. So, I guess we'll see you guys in a couple of days. Short turnaround time for us for episode 63. So Tim, thanks for joining us tonight. Of course. Appreciate you having you on. Jason, have your jelly beans.
I'll eat my jelly beans and go eat some Italian food.
I was about to say, I'm going to go have some late dinner, so maybe I'll have some Italian.
Yes.
All right, everyone, have a good one, and we'll see you later. Peace.